His sermon on Micah chapter 5 was recorded at Rabena on Christmas Day 2019. It's titled Because of Bethlehem. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online, www.salt.church.
When you look at the Nativity, what do you see? What scene does this picture set for you? I don't know if you realise this, but the Nativity is quite controversial. And the Nativity is no longer seen as acceptable. People want it off the Christmas scene altogether. Shopping centres once displayed the Nativity scene next to Santa Claus and the big tree, no longer want to make a scene at Christmas. State schools who once told the story of the Nativity have now removed Jesus from their playgrounds. No longer is it a Christmas celebration, it's the end of year celebration. Some churches no longer set up the Christmas stable, fearful of public instability. An Italian Catholic priest refused to set up the Nativity at his church, afraid that it might be offensive to some groups in his community. An atheist group in the United States have set up an alternative Nativity. Three wise men, Presidents Jefferson, Washington, and Franklin, all looking down on the baby Bill, the Bill of Rights. Here's a cartoon of what the Nativity would look like. The writing says, without Jews, Arabs, Africans, or refugees. When you look at the Nativity, what do you see? This simple cardboard cutout depiction has always created controversy, caused offence, divided opinions. Some have recently suggested that the Nativity scene needs to be updated. So here's the millennial Nativity. Mary and Joseph are taking a selfie with the baby Jesus in an energy-efficient solar-panelled stable. Joseph has his hair up in a man bun. Mary's making a duck face, holding Starbucks coffee. The wise men deliver gifts from Amazon on a Segway. The shepherds are watching YouTube clips on their iPad. The sheep are wearing 100% recycled wool. The cow is organic and gluten-free. When you look at the Nativity, what do you see? What scene does it set for you? A baby in a manger? A failed public health system? A crisis with refugees, a political statement, a religious statement, a statement about human welfare, a statement about animal welfare. Or maybe you can see two Tyrannosaurus Rexes fighting to the death over a running table saw. I'll leave the picture of the dinosaurs up so you can find them. When Matthew, who wrote his biography about the life of Jesus, looked at the Nativity of Bethlehem, Matthew saw God keeping his promises. Promises that God made long ago. See those words again in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The birth of the baby born in Bethlehem is the fulfillment of promise and prophecy. A new ruler in Israel has arrived, one who will shepherd God's people. And Matthew says what the prophet has written can be seen by us in the writings of the prophet Micah. See what it says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The words are here behind me. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. So often when we think about the Christmas story, we focus on the wise men following the eastern star, or the amazing angels visiting sleepy shepherds. Rarely do we consider the location of this story. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the reason we never consider Bethlehem is because, well, Bethlehem is insignificant. See it there, though you are too little to be among the clans of Judah, Even Micah thinks Bethlehem is insignificant. Micah names the region Ephrathah for us so that we've got some idea of where it is that he's talking about. Bethlehem is a speck on the map, and you're going to need a map or an iPhone to find it. Earlier this month, I was in Bethlehem. It's in the middle of nowhere. And friends, it's a bit of a nothing. Bethlehem sits on the border of Palestine and Israel. It's about 7 kilometres from the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem. It's surrounded by an 11-metre high concrete wall, a wall of hostility that stretches over 700 kilometres. Our tour group had to go through military security just to get in there. It's not all Christmas trees and souvenir shops, Bethlehem. It's not a tinsel town. The West Bank is no glitter strip. There are people on the streets with assault rifles. The token Christmas tree in the town square is overshadowed by an enormous mosque. It's hotly disputed and heavily contested. Bethlehem really isn't worth all the trouble. Micah says Bethlehem is very small, and the Hebrew word for small means insignificant. And apart from being the place where Rachel was buried, and the scene setting the romance between Boaz and Ruth, and the place of birth for King David, Bethlehem rarely gets mentioned in the Bible, less than 50 times. But some 800 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Micah said Bethlehem is also insignificant. Bethlehem was nothing but sheep paddocks. And let me tell you, the sheep paddocks aren't all that great for sheep either. There isn't much to see in Bethlehem, not much to do in Bethlehem. I only took a couple of photos. In fact, you've now seen all of them. But God does something significant in Bethlehem. God enters into our insignificance. I want you to see what God does in boring Bethlehem. Chapter 5, verse 2 of Micah. From you shall come forth from me one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. Bethlehem is the portal between heaven and earth. It's the location where God now locates the fulfillment of his promises. In this place that feels more like hell than heaven, heaven invades earth in Bethlehem. The one whose origins are from ancient times becomes a brand new baby. This son of Bethlehem, says Micah, will rule over all of Israel. His arrival signals the return from exile for God's people. See it there with me. Given up until the time when she who is in labor gives birth. You see, there is significance in the insignificant. But I also want you to see what kind of ruler he's going to be. We're Australians and we're pretty skeptical of leadership. But the people of Israel had very good reason to be. Israel haven't had a very good run with their rulers. And as Micah speaks, Israel are about to go into exile. But don't you be thinking exile meaning short-term overseas holiday. Whenever you hear the word exile in the Bible, think failed leadership. Think God's condemnation on his own nation. Any day now, Israel are about to be invaded by the Assyrians, as Micah speaks. And by the time Micah chapter 5 finishes, the Assyrian army is marching directly towards them. Then Israel will be conquered by the Babylonians. Before the Assyrians, it was the Egyptians and the Persians. After the Babylonians, it will be the Greeks. As Matthew writes about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, it was the Romans who occupied Israel. On hearing the news that there is another ruler born in Bethlehem, Herod, the king of Israel, is greatly disturbed. He orders all the lives of Bethlehem's sons to be taken, all the boys that are under 2 to be murdered. Listen, Herod isn't exactly a great ruler either. But among the sheep paddocks of Bethlehem, born amongst those sheep, this new ruler will be shepherd over all of God's people. He'll gather in the scattered people of God, those who fear, who live in fear and insecurity and insignificance, will come under the protection of his strength. They will live in the stability of security. He will come to bring stability in a land of great uncertainty. And see him again. He doesn't rest. He stands, this shepherd king, and he bears the name of the Lord his God. So great is his greatness that this new ruler won't just rule over Israel, but his greatness and majesty and strength as a shepherd will now extend to the ends of the earth, extending even over us down under. Look there with me at verse 4. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace when the Assyrians come to our land and tread in our palaces. In the midst of all of these trials, in every kind of trouble, in all of our fears, in all of our failures, when the Assyrians land on our doorstep, when they come and oppress and they conquer us, when they start marching through our streets and break through the last of our remaining defences, when we're about to be overcome and we feel overrun, the Shepherd King's strength is so great that he is our peace. Jesus is our peace in the middle of a war zone, amongst all the conflict, confusion, and chaos that life dishes up. You see, friends, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. There's great significance in what seems insignificant. The Shepherd King comes to bring significance to our lives, and it's found when we submit ourselves to Jesus' rule and majesty. The Shepherd King, born in a sheep paddock, wants to enter into the insignificance of your life as well. He came to the most insignificant place on earth so that our lives might find significance in his greatness. You see, that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And that's what we celebrate at the cross as well. Because what started in Bethlehem's fields finds its culmination in the city limits of Jerusalem. Because of Bethlehem, we can come to Golgotha, where Jesus is our peace. When we surrender ourselves to his rule, when we ask the shepherd to be our saviour king, his death means an end to our hostility with God. We can live under God's protection. Jesus dies the most insignificant and despised death so that we, by his death, can have peace with God. Friends, when you look at the Nativity, what do you see? Because God wants to make significant your insignificance. But when we keep Jesus as the Bethlehem baby, Christ and Christmas and Christianity remain insignificant to us. If all we have is Christmas, we lose the significance of our Saviour and Shepherd King. Will you pray with me? Our gracious God, we thank you that we live in a country where we are not under immediate threat from foreign armies. And yet our world is chaotic. It throws up great fears, fills us with angst and anxiety. The joy and excitement of today can so easily turn and bring conflict and pain for some of us. We pray this day that the Prince of Peace, born in Bethlehem's sheep paddocks might open wide our hearts to receive his peace. Lord Jesus, help us to know the Prince of Peace and to see the significance of this insignificant story that brings life and hope and peace to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.